you can spend 60 minutes doing 100 cold calls and maybe get a couple people to pick up the phone, or you can do a webinar and you could get another 100 people actually engaged in what you're talking about.
So do you want to learn how to sell to the masses instead of selling one at a time? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We have a special guest, Jessica Dubois, going to be joining us in a minute to talk about how to run a webinar start to finish, all the tricks, all the secrets, things that she's done. We're excited about it. I know I've done some webinars, but I wanted to bring somebody else that's actually doing it regularly and is a professional at it to the show. A lot of you have asked me about webinars, how we do them. So I said, why not do a show on it? So I'm excited to do it. Those of you that just joining us or are new to the show here, my name is John Sprocco with Heads Up Advisor. We teach you independent healthcare advisors how to close more sales through expert tactics and strategies like one today that we're going to talk about for marketing. So it's been around for a while, yet nobody's utilizing it. I don't understand it. Jessica doesn't understand it. We got it. We started doing webinars. I mean, we're the young people here in the group. The average age is 58 in the industry, and it's only ticking upwards. So we figured, why not teach you old folks some things today? Hope I don't offend anybody out there. Maybe a little bit. But with that being said, today's show is sponsored by none other than the Achieve Health Alliance. We are rolling out the Achieve Health Plan. If you don't see it, the registration link for that webinar, Craig is away in Europe, so he's not going to be on today's show. So guys, we're going to go in through it start to finish, so we're excited. With that being said, let's bring her in, none other than Jessica Dubois from BBG. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to talk about webinars, something that I've had so much fun doing and growing here at BBG.
We're excited to have you. Let me talk real briefly and just kind of go over some numbers that you had given me. So Jessica, it's been in the business 18 months, okay, on the brokerage side. I want to talk about some of the things that hold people back from doing it. So let's just use a couple numbers. She's done 4 webinars. She has a 5th one going. She gets an average from 80 to 120 people, prospects, to sign up. She's pitching in 1 hour an average 100 people, while most of you are pitching one at a time. We're in the digital world. Just like most of you watching, I'm getting to you digitally. She's figured it out. She understands it. She's marketing. So that being said, let's just go into it. We just kind of covered anything you want to touch on why they should be doing webinars.
Yeah. So, well, the reason why I started doing webinars is because the prospecting to me didn't come naturally, or didn't feel like it was a good use of my time doing the cold calls where, you know, you can spend 60 minutes doing 100 cold calls and maybe get a couple people to pick up the phone, or you can do a webinar. You have people who are coming to you and you could get another 100 people actually engaged in what you're talking about. And then you have their information, their warm leads, and you're also seen as an expert or as a knowledgeable person that they can go to now on that topic.
I want to talk about something that, and again, we like to get personal on this show, more psychology driven, right? Is how do you get over the fear of running a webinar? Because I know what's going in through most people's head is how do I get in front of people? You know, speaking, number one fear in America, right? Above death. Webinar, very similar. They may not see the video. They may not see your face, but you're talking and people are afraid of that. So you being, happy belated birthday. She just turned 26. I thought you were older. She is a baby and she's doing webinars. So you guys have no excuse not to do it. You're 20-year veterans. There's no excuses. She could have every excuse in the world and yet she's not making up the excuses. So tell the audience on how maybe you got over your fear or things that went on in your head of, hey, should I be doing this? Am I an expert? Talk about that.
Yeah. So I think naturally there's an imposter syndrome. I have it still today in basically everything that I do. But imposter syndrome is feeling like a fraud for talking about something. But I'm telling you, if you can get 20 people on a webinar, you have something valuable to say. And so it's figuring out kind of what you're knowledgeable about, or how you can bring in someone else that's knowledgeable into where you can maybe co-host a webinar. Now, how you get over it is you practice. So that's got to be key, so that when you go in there, and I'm talking about practicing the technology aspect, but also practicing what you're going to say, because that's going to make you feel comfortable. But also just go in there and say, like, take it easy on yourself. It's going to take you a few to kind of get the hang of it. And that's also going to be the time that you get more people in your audience. You just have to be easy on yourself, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard the first couple of times.
Yeah, I think just like anything else they talk about is practice. I'll put in one tip. Guys ask me how I did video. I started video. I hated looking at myself. I hate the scariest thing. Tell me if you agree, is hearing your own voice. It's pretty scary, right? The first time I hear my own voice, it's scary. What you can do is you can videotape yourself, take out your iPhone, put it on a tripod, shout out to Marcy Heath, who was petrified of doing video. She's now doing video, okay? Put it on tripod, watch your videos, tape yourself, just do it over and over until you get used to it. And then it's more comfortable, it becomes more natural. So that fear is there. We all have it. You can get over it very easily with practice. So where do we start? So I'm a benefits advisor. I've been doing this 20 years. We built the book on cold calling. How do I even go about having a webinar? Where do I start?
Yeah. So the first thing I would do is figure out what type of platform you're going to use. So there's GoToWebinar, there's Zoom, which is a very inexpensive. That's what we utilize. It's less than $30 a month. And there's always deals going on. If you want to do it for free, you can even utilize something like a YouTube. So the first thing I would do is find a system for that. And then the next step is I would figure out who is your audience. And John, you might have some tips on that as well, because it's going to be from HR to C-level of kind of the people that you're trying to target in your webinar.
Yeah, I mean, guys, you've got to understand and figure out what your market is, who your I call it the avatar, is who I want to talk to. Do I want to speak to CFOs, CEOs, HR? Listen, if you're not offending somebody on the webinar, you're not doing a good job. You can't appeal to everybody, okay? You've got to understand who your target audience is. Listen, I built my book dealing more in the beginning with HR people. I've lost my patience, so I can't talk to them anymore. But at the same time, if you put 50 of them on a webinar, some people are going to love you. I mean, some of the bigger accounts that I recently got from webinars were women that called me and said they loved my attitude and calling people out. And my style. So, you know, be yourself. I mean, Jessica would agree. Just be yourself. It's just like, you know, my old boss told me is your clients are going to start to look and smell like you. So figuring out who your audience is, and then the next step really is going to be what, Jessica, figuring out what in the hell we're going to do this on?
Yeah. And just to go along with the audience part is like Seth Godin says, famous marketer, and he says, find your smallest viable audience. So you don't want 1,000 people on your webinar. You want 100 people that are your prospects. Now, the next thing I would do is looking at the setup that you want to do. So you can do a panel discussion. So if you had 3 or 4 vendors or a topic that you wanted to do, and you have 3 or 4 experts on it, you can do one on your own, which I would say, and as well as John probably, is that that's probably the most valuable thing, is if you can engage an audience for an hour on your own, that's fantastic. But I realized for your first one, that's a little bit daunting. And that's something that we did, was we've been bringing in experts on topics so that they, you know, we start off the webinar and then they go into their discussion or their presentation, and then we'll pop in and make comments throughout, and we'll kind of co-host it. So you can decide what you're comfortable with, and then, you know, switch it up for the next webinar.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially you'd mentioned earlier, because I'm a believer in you need to do the webinar. You need to be the expert. You want them to want to do business with you, right? You're going to resonate with a certain particular audience. If your expert is, then maybe when they meet you, they're not going to like your style. But Jessica made a really good point when we were preparing for this show, is that, you know, guys, you need to start somewhere, okay? And if starting somewhere is having your first webinar with an expert in the industry, a vendor partner that can do it all for you, then do it. Don't hold off and make the excuse that you don't know where to start and you don't know what to say. Have that first webinar with them. Get your feet wet. They run webinars all the time for people. Listen, I've done webinars for other brokers that watch the show, okay? So you can start somewhere and kind of get past that learning curve and prepare yourself for your next webinar. Now, Jessica's done some webinars where she's had experts on different topics, which was interesting. She took different topics that to pull them in and kind of slid in with the healthcare expertise on the back end, right?
Yes. And the best thing is after you do your first one and you put up maybe a 3 to 5 question survey, you can actually ask your audience what they want to hear more about. So that's the path that we've taken moving forward. And so if they want to hear more about compliance or an issue that they're struggling with, that goes into our next step, which is finding a topic. Something to add for finding a topic is a place to start is actually looking at your own client base. What are questions that you get often? What are questions or issues that you're talking with prospects about? That's a great way to start with figuring out what you want to do your webinar on.
Yeah, I think, guys, just to add on that, you know, people ask, what should I do it on? I think what you've got to do is have a hook, okay? Mm-hmm. Everything is the hook. So when you look at marketing, we're going to go into the marketing because the marketing is the most complex side, which this is all about, right? Once you, I always say is even with seminar, and Jess, you could even talk, or maybe we'll even have you back on for seminar because you've done some great things there. Numbers that I was at. I was a little mad because they were way better than mine. But that's another story. But, you know, having that hook as to the hot topic, what's their pain point? How is it in a compelling way? That's all copywriting. So you'll see some stuff that we do. And the reality is, you know, it's a hook. I'm trying to talk to their needs and you've got to get them in with that hook. If you have a plan to talk about other things later on the webinar, that's okay. In my opinion, you just got to get their butts in the seats. Once you get their butts in the seats, then you have the audience. But yeah, I mean, we did one just for example, on how to buy benefits like Walmart, hotter topic, pharmacy, group buying, things of that nature that resonates with them, or something that's hot in the trend, like something that Trump's doing. So which ones have you done topics on, Jess, if you want to share?
Yeah, so we've done ones around talent optimization was one of the recent ones that we had. We also had reference-based pricing, so a more complex issue. I mean, something that we've thought of is, okay, so every other month, it's going to kind of transition between healthcare cost containment and then focusing more on an HR issue or an HR topic. Now, it's become so popular that now we have kind of moved into other departments within our organization to where our HR and compliance department within our company is actually now hosting a monthly webinar on compliance, where now I'm hosting a monthly one that's more on like human workplaces, culture, as well as healthcare and like core benefits.
And your goal is, again, so you can kind of share, because her style and her strategy is very different from what mine is. Talk about your strategy is going in on something that may not 100% be related to healthcare, but it's a way for you to get in and have a conversation and kind of convert them and have that conversation with benefits.
Yeah. So I, being on the broker side for, you know, not very much time, 18 months, I've been able to see it from a different perspective. And that's of, okay, so what have we gotten away from in benefits? And that is kind of humanizing them and actually showing employees that they can be easy to use and that they can be valuable for them and an actual benefit. And so the strategy that I've taken is making HR more strategic, to where I think a lot of people in our industry have said, let's go C-level, let's go CFO. Well, for us, we see a CFO, you know, stays within a company for less than 2 years. So an HR person is going to be a lot more valuable for us. And they're a lot easier to get into the door with. They are going to be the ones that are going to get on your webinar. It's going to be much more difficult to get a CEO on your webinar. So to me, it's been like, okay, so what can I do? I can take the HR and just try to teach them to be more strategic. And so that is the path that I've taken.
Yeah, listen, to each your own, everybody has a different method to their madness. You know, as long as you can, I feel like if you can get a captive audience, you can get people interested, because I had benefits managers. Again, if you're doing a webinar, right? So here's the difference, guys. I don't want to go meet with HR people or benefits managers on one-on-one meetings, it's really very difficult. You're usually spinning your wheels. But shit, if I have a webinar that I'm running, okay, I don't care who's on there. I mean, ideally C-suite, but they're very difficult to get on there. So maybe you have to crack the door in through the benefits manager. That's fine. If you can get an audience and talk to 100 people, I don't really care. And listen, her numbers are really good. So, you know, if you can get 10 people, 10 people is better than one. 20, 30 people. You know, I've had probably 25, 35 prospects at the height of the webinars that I did. And we'll talk about replays and things after. But again, take what you can get on the webinar. It's constant marketing, which we're going to get into. The most important part of this, guys, is you've got the topic, you're creating the content. We'll talk about content for a second, and I'll share my thought is when I created the pharmacy webinar, right? I don't know everything about pharmacy. It's so complex, right? It's in a complex topic, but the reality is my partner knows a lot. So what I did is I reached out to the expert. I had him do a one-on-one webinar with me. I recorded it. I went back. I recreated the webinar for myself. And now I have the content and I had him join me for questions at the end and to be part of it. So that's another way to create content. Is that something that you've done or you want to share what you've done for content purposes?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea. I think it goes into, you know, bringing in an expert or just thinking more in depth about what you're good at or what you're passionate about. I had someone reach out to me recently who is a sales rep I worked with at my former job. And he was asking me, you know, what are your thoughts on social media? Like, I feel like the stuff that I know about is boring. And I'm like, actually, like the amount of information you know about disability and how the claims work and like how important it is and what to look at in a contract, like those are things people need to know more about. And you might find it to be boring, but someone else might find it to be very interesting. So I would encourage you to really look at what you're knowledgeable about. If you don't feel like it's very much, well, then you definitely need to study and learn more. I've been in the business for 18 months. And so I think if you can figure out some topics that you can become knowledgeable about to teach people and to do a webinar on, then you'll be very valuable to other people in sharing that information.
What she's saying is, an old friend of mine would say to me, your excuses are your own. Tell your wife your troubles. Stop making excuses, because she has all the excuses in the book she could come up with, but she's not making them. Again, I always like to encourage you guys to take action. That's what this is all about. She's getting benefits. What did you say? You've gotten 2 clients this month from the webinars you've done?
Yeah. And those are clients that I've been in contact with over the last 6 months to a year, but they have been in all like the past three webinars, the first 3 webinars they were on, and I would reach out to them afterwards. So they would, of course, get the follow-up from the webinar. But then I would personally reach out to them in a phone call or an email and say, hey, I saw that you were on the webinar. You know, what did you think? What would you like to hear more about? And then from there, I was able to set up another meeting. And I literally got a BOR for one of these groups yesterday.
Excellent. Yeah. I mean, guys, the reality is, and we're going to get into marketing. I want to talk about one more thing is we talked about it before, getting your audience to know, like, and trust you, right? The Trojan horse role, dating them for a while. You can let them date you through your content for a while, for many months. 3% of buyers are ready to buy now. So you need to allow them to engage with your content and get to know you so that when time comes, when they're ready, you're first on the list for them to reach out to. So that being said, I want to talk briefly about when you talk about the content, and I'll talk real quick about how I did mine. You could tell me yours is you kind of want to create some sort of storyline. When I created the webinar, it was, okay, what story am I trying to tell my audience here? What do I want to tell them? And what do I want them to get out of it? After I come up with the story in my head, I then can go create the PowerPoint slides that I'm going to go through because I understand the story that I want to tell them, the outcome I want them to know and see. What have you done from a standpoint of creating that story, you know, thinking it out and planning it out? Because I know that's something people are thinking is, where do I start? How do I plan this story out?
Yeah. So, I mean, an hour is a long time. I mean, you could make a 30-minute webinar, but it's a long time to try to keep someone engaged. So first tip I would have is a very short intro. Like just like a sales presentation, talking to the prospect, you don't care who you are. They came there to learn. So I would keep that extremely short. Keep your slides short. Second thing is include questions, include polls. So lots of like Zoom and GoToWebinar actually give you the capability to include polls into the webinar, as well as like documents and PDFs that they can download throughout the webinar. So those are great ways to keep people engaged. Another tip or piece of advice I would give you is the quickest way to lose an audience is to be salesy. So do not start talking about things that you can do for them. Use it as an opportunity to teach them. And that's like so much value that they'll get, that they'll respect you, and that they'll come back to you wanting more. The last thing I would put in there is to offer something within the content that is a value add. And I'm not just talking about a follow-up, but like one thing that we've done is we're able to give SHRM an HRCI credit. And so we include that actually as part of a value add for our webinars. So you come to a webinar, we'll actually give you HRCI and SHRM credit. And so there's a process you can go through to be able to do that as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea, because I know they also have one from the financial side for people that have CPAs and things like that. So it's a great idea to get them to show up. So let's go into it. And this is the biggest part of all, guys, is marketing. How do we get butts in the seats? How do we get people to show up? Something that I've been studying for over 2 years now, and it's been of great value to me in my business. So Jessica, how do we get people to show up?
Yes. So this is what will exhaust you the most or take up most of your time. So you need to create some type of process for it. So one thing that I recommend is starting 4 weeks in advance. So they say 6 weeks in advance for a seminar, an in-person event, 4 weeks for a webinar. And that's what I've seen be successful. But know that, you know, 60 to 70% of the people who register will register within the last week. But that 4 weeks of marketing is what gets them to know more about your event. So they'll see it on their feed. They'll see it in their email. Maybe you'll do direct mail. Maybe you'll call them about it. But them constantly seeing it and you being persistent, they'll sign up within the last week. So don't get disappointed, but just know that 4 weeks is prepping you for that last week leading up to that webinar. The next piece of advice I'd have is to promote across all channels. So if you've got Twitter, if you've got Instagram, LinkedIn, of course, is going to be critical. I decided to do LinkedIn ads. So if you're able to do this, or I mean, honestly, to be frank, I had never done any of this before. Like, yes, I minored in marketing in college, but LinkedIn ads weren't, I don't even know if they existed, you know, that 5 years ago. I'm not even sure.
No,
but that's probably not. Or maybe they weren't as important as they are now. But that's something that I've done that's been successful as well. But you want to make sure you're getting it out in all ways. And also to add on to that, it's going to be your email list. I'm fortunate in that I work for a larger agency that I know many of you don't, but you have center of influences that you can utilize. And so if you send them out the webinar and say, hey, maybe someone you refer a 401k business to, you send them a link to the webinar and say, hey, would you mind, you know, sending this out to your prospects? Maybe it's a group that you and I could work together on. I think it will add value to them. Hey, I'd also love to get you on a future webinar. Do that. Utilize your center of influences, but also utilize the people in your office if you have them, because that helped me a lot as well.
Yeah, I think email is still king, guys. I mean, we're running a webinar for Achieve Health Alliance. Let me get my plug in here real quick. Achieve Health Alliance, August 13th, 2 p.m. Eastern, I think it is. So Zoom allows you to create separate links. I don't know if you saw this, Jessica, but Zoom allows you to create separate links. So I can track where they're coming from. So a LinkedIn ad, a Facebook ad, a LinkedIn social, a Facebook social, email, a partner email, everything under the sun, you can create separate links for homepage, Facebook group, Facebook Live. I can see where everybody, how many people viewed that page and how many people signed up from that direct. So you can track your marketing efforts to see where you get the most bang for your buck. Email is by far, we've got 100 and I think 30 people signed up for the 13th. And I think email is about 50%+ of that alone. So, you know, it's good to track to see what's converting. I did run LinkedIn ads. I didn't have tons of success yet with them. I would say that my landing page was not that great as a call to action, but I'm going to be trying LinkedIn sponsored in-mails. I don't know if you've tried sponsored in-mails, but I could tell you just already what I've seen is the cost for them are dramatically cheaper than what I'm spending to run the webinar LinkedIn ads. Have you done any sponsored in-mails?
Yes. So I did that for the seminar that we did in March, and I haven't done it for a webinar yet. But yeah, it's trial and error. I think that's the important thing, but it's keeping track and so that you can improve and know where to use your time in the future. An easy way to kind of manage your time with this is to use a tool that allows you to schedule out posts for marketing the event. So for one thing, you can do something like a MailChimp. I think you use ActiveCampaign, but you can actually schedule when you want the emails to go out. And they actually have templates in there too. So you can set up a template to advertise the webinar, whatever event that you want to do. This is great for cold emailing as well. But when you do something like this, you can actually schedule it out so that you're not worried on a Tuesday at 2 p.m. that you need to send out a marketing email for your webinar. You can do it on a Saturday or Sunday and plan for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's all tools to do this. Most of you will probably not want to do it and utilize it. You may want to just hire an expert to do it. I know of a company that I haven't utilized, but I could give you the name. I think it's called Advisor Fuel. And I think that I was getting emails yesterday of a special that's, they normally work with financial advisors. So they run, I think they run a monthly seminar for people and they run Facebook ads and so on and so forth. And I think it's a couple hundred dollars a month. They do everything for you. So again, if you want to make it simple and you want to be consistent, you could do something like that. I would hire somebody to help you with it. But first and foremost, I would definitely use a partner or somebody else to help you with the webinar just to get your feet wet. But the most important part above all is the marketing. If you've been in the business 20 years, you've been meeting with hundreds of prospects. I've only been in it a couple of years and I have hundreds of prospects that I went on cold calls for. I had emails for about 75% of them. They're all on my email list. They know who I am. They met with me. They weren't ready then. I might get them 3 years later. So the reality is above all else, you have to market because again, you need people to show up. I'm not going to say you're going to have success that Jessica's had. You can maybe reach out to her annoyer a little bit for some help. I'm sure she'll be happy to help. The key is marketing, just like those of you having seminars. That's extremely hard to get people to show up. So you know how that's like. What else do we want to cover on marketing here?
Yeah, so something else I would cover is a tool that I use is Canva. And so you can use it for free, but it's a website that allows you to create marketing posts and they have already sized out graphics for you, whether you're posting on Instagram, LinkedIn, like a cover photo for Facebook. They have every dimension you can think of. And then they have templates for marketing. So I utilize these and then I'll just make it my own. And so you can type in your title, the date, the time, and then go ahead and upload it up to LinkedIn, Instagram. You can add it to an email template. And this is free to use. It's simple. You don't need Photoshop. You don't need to hire some graphic designer. You can do that on your own.
Yeah, great point. I've heard of it, but I haven't utilized it. I was hiring people off Upwork. Upwork's another great site where you can find a list of contractors. You want to put a couple posts in, interview a couple people, have them help you out. One other thing that I did for marketing is I took my top 25 prospects and I spent some money there. So obviously I have the book. We did the Walmart webinar and we did Walmart gift cards for $25 each just to play into the theme with a personal note and just sent it out to them to try to get them on as well. And I think we said, sponsoring in-mails to those top 25 people. Cold calling. Cold calling still works, guys. Mm-hmm. Get on the phone yourself. There's no excuses there. Get on the phone and say, hey, listen, I'm holding a webinar. Love to sign you up. Can I go ahead and sign you up right now for it? If you get them on the phone, do it for them. Okay. Chances are at least you get their email and you're going to start sending them emails, get into their life, into their realm and continue to market to them. So those are just a couple ideas on marketing. Most important, let's go into it. You had mentioned here is what happens at the end of the webinar? What do we do now? We give a great presentation. We've educated them, right, guys? The number one salesperson in today's world is no longer the personality type that has that great personality and great talker. It's the educator, okay? It's the person that can educate them. That's the number one salesman. How do I convert them after I educate them?
Yeah, so you're right. This is the most important part. You've engaged the audience for an hour. Now what do you do with that? So Zoom and GoToWebinar both allow a survey to pop up or questions to pop up for the audience right when the webinar is done. And so what I've done is added in a question, hey, do you want to learn more? And if they say yes, that's immediately like I'm contacting that person directly, spending more time on that. But then an important thing that you should do is have an email template already ready to go that you're going to send out directly after the webinar is over. If you Google questions about webinars, it will say send a follow-up within 24 hours. I think you have to do it within an hour because they've already forgotten. They've already been, you know, seen other noise on LinkedIn or in their email box. I think you have to do it within the hour. That's why I recommend having an email template already ready to go with the contacts in there. Now I email and I send out one to the people who show up on the webinar. And then I have a separate one for the people who missed it because the people who missed it, they'll get a recorded webinar as well as, hey, sorry, you missed this webinar. And then at that moment, I have a link in there to register for the next webinar. So I'm hitting them at a few different points, but I'm keeping it short and sweet. So there'll be three different buttons. It'll be, hey, do you want to schedule a meeting? Here's the recorded webinar and here's a call to action. You can download an ebook or, you know, learn more about the topic that we discussed today.
You're giving them multiple touch points to be able to engage with you. So what she's doing, guys, is, you know, there's certain parts of the funnel and maybe they're at the top of the funnel where they know you, but they don't trust you yet or they don't like you yet. So it allows them to say, hey, I'm ready. Schedule a call. I'm not so ready. I want to read an ebook. I'm really not that ready. I want to go see you on another webinar. So it allows her to create soft touching points based on where that prospect is in the cycle of your campaign. Now, I don't know about you. You tell me. I didn't have much success in them saying, hey, let's book a call. Guys, I still believe in you're still going to have to email them and chase them. The only difference is they've raised their hand now. Traditionally, we're cold calling and chasing them and they're not really interested. If they're on the webinar, they're interested. They've raised their hand. If they stay to the end, they raised their hand again and said they're interested. So I would then send out an email directly trying to schedule a call. And I think not many people did, if at all, maybe one or two through my webinars. But hey, that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm still going to call them. I'm going to get them on the phone. If you're on my webinar, you're not hiding. I'm coming for you. So how did it work for you? Did you have any success with that or what did you have to do?
You're exactly right. So to this day, I don't think we've had anyone. So I have a Calendly link in there so that they can actually book a consultation or a meeting. But I haven't had anyone actually set up a meeting. It's always been a follow-up. So I do these webinars for, you know, personal prospecting, but I actually include other sales or producers on our team. And so their prospects are attending. So when I send out that list and they know the employees or the employers who showed up on this webinar, they're immediately contacting them, doing a personal touch of saying, hey, I saw you're on the webinar. What did you think? What would you like to hear about? Maybe sending them an extra ebook on it. But then they're also going to be following up again in a few weeks because just like you said, you're never going to get them on that first touch point. You're going to have to continue to follow up with them. Scheduling social media. Derek in our office uses this religiously, but it's Hootsuite. Hootsuite. And this, you can schedule posts for Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and you can also see trending topics. So if you're struggling with what topic to do, you can actually see what are people in your network talking about. And if you follow a lot of HR people, you follow a lot of employers, CEOs, you can see what they're looking at or what they're talking about and interacting with on social media and use that for choosing a topic.
Yeah, I use Buffer, very similar.
Yep.
So I have news sources that send me daily stuff on healthcare. And if I get a chance to look at topics and it looks interesting, I'll reshare it through Buffer and I can post it. You'll see it on Questies, Achieve, Heads Up Advisor, all over the place. It allows me to simply click a button and repost it so you can share stuff. Knowing the topics, one of the experts is Craig, that he's an expert at, is studying his prospect's industry. He reads everything on HR topics. So if he needs to talk about surveys or things going on in their world in a meeting, he can do that. CEOs, CFOs, all the big white papers, he reads them all. So being an expert in that gives you a competitive advantage. Talk about repurposing content, right? If you follow Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about a pillar of content. So this show is essentially an hour of content. I now can break this into 30 different pieces of content. It becomes 5 to 10 video snippets. It becomes a blog post. It could become infographic quote cards. It could become a podcast. It could become ebooks, white papers. So when you have a webinar, don't just think it stops there. You have the ability to take that and spread it out. So there's multiple ways you can repurpose it. Have you done any repurposing with your content?
Yeah, absolutely. Posting it different. I mean, then you can now utilize it, like you said, outside of the webinar, whether it's on social media. You could even use it for a follow-up email to them again in a month. So absolutely.
Yeah, and I've gone on so far as to run an automated webinar. So the reality is I have them, expert sessions, I call them, on my website so they can request access to it. And I've had multiple people, if I drive them to my site, okay, just to talk on this for a point, because I know Jessica understands branding and positioning. You can go to jessicadubois.com and you can see what she's done. So the reality is the website is there for positioning and to show that you're the authority, you're the expert. You have to drive the traffic to it. That's the market. Once they get to your site, then you now have to provide them something to engage with you with. So again, I had a call with Safe Light Auto Glass, 13,000 lives. I don't even know. I forget how they found me. I think it was an article somewhere. They got to my site. This guy's credible. He's an authority figure. He has a book. I downloaded the book. So they requested a copy of the book. They didn't ask for a call, but they wanted my book. Now I hunted her down. She's not hiding from me. That's one way to engage with me. Another way was they requested to watch my expert session. So you can then house that there. Another way you can utilize your expert session is, which I'm going to be doing with the Achieve webinar that we're having on the 13th, is I'm going to take that and put it in an automated basis and run emails and ads to it for people that weren't on it so they can pop in their email and watch it at any time. So there's so many different ways that you can utilize your webinar. Again, it's going to be some time and investment, but once you do it once or twice, it becomes easy. Jessica's doing them every month now. So just get over the hump and do the first one, and you'll get there. Real quick, I almost forgot. Let's see the t-shirt there. You didn't show me the t-shirt.
Get it, girl, show. Right?
Yeah, talk about that. We got a lot of women on this show. Talk about the fact of overcoming the fear of being a woman in the industry, especially at a young age, and even doing these webinars.
Yeah, I was telling you this before we started this tonight, but I feel as if a lot of the webinars I've joined that have been in our industry have been male speaking, which is fine. But then they tend to be men that are very sales oriented. And I'm thinking it's difficult for me to relate to or to even become engaged. And so for me, I'm like, okay, this is kind of an advantage to me when I'm trying to attract HR people, when I'm trying to attract this audience to my webinars. And yeah, I actually didn't wear this shirt on purpose, but I do like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think women have an advantage as well in a male world in this industry. I think some of you might look at it the other way, but I think you have a competitive advantage that we don't have. And I think get over that fear, get over that hump. It's all up here, as Craig would say, and use it to your advantage. I'm going to wrap it there. Again, Achieve Health Alliance webinar is on the 13th. Check it out. Jessica, thanks so much for joining us. We had a lot of fun here and we look forward to having you on again, maybe to talk about seminars. What do you think?
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you so much. This is a lot of fun for me.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Heads Up Advisor, we will see you next week. Same place, same time, Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Thanks for joining us, guys.